Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, and once again it is time for the Redemption Time broadcast with Brother Larry Knowles. That is me speaking, and I do appreciate each one of you that has joined us this morning, and I trust that this broadcast will be a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to you as we go along this journey towards our great ending, which will be one of two things. And let me just give you my church announcements. We are this week in a revival. Brother Tom Gillen is doing our evangelistic preaching each night at 7. And the Lancaster family doing our singing. And we invite everyone to come and be with us. We had a great service on Sunday morning. And I'm making this broadcast right after that. What a great time we had this morning. Brother Tom's delivering messages this week on prayer. And I do know that if you're a child of God, they'll be a help to you. And if you're not, you need to hear the gospel. You need to be saved. And we give the opportunity. Not only that, but even each week we give you the opportunity to hear the gospel. We do that on Sunday morning at 9:45. We present the gospel usually in some form in our Sunday school. Then at 10:45 we have our morning worship. And on Sunday night at 6 and Wednesday evening at 7, we invite you to come and be with us in any of these meetings. And just know that the Lord would bless you, and we would be so happy to have you. Make you welcome, love you, and be glad to have you. Well, now let's have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message.
If I have to make the crossing of the Jordan deep and high, and you linger in this life, your life on earth is over and you come to cross the tide, I'll be waiting at the river for you. No more heartache, no more sorrow, no tears to dim the eye. I will never say goodbye again to you. Start a life again anew.
Well, that was the Joy Ayers singing, "I'll Be Waiting at the River for You." And my, what a great thought. If we're saved and our loved ones are saved and we have to say goodbye, we can always be looking forward to that great time of reunion when we've all crossed over. Everything of this world is left behind. All the sorrows, heartaches, departures, and partings have been left here, and we have now arrived on that beautiful place where there'll be no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more disappointments. My, what a great promise that is. If you do not have that hope this morning, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to become that part of you that will assure you that you too can know that assurance and have that blessed hope that when this life is over, my friend, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his finished work, you and your loved ones can be reunited yonder on heaven's sweet shore. Joy Ayers have now retired. They had their final appearance on New Year's Eve at their home church in Kingston, Tennessee. And some of our folks went, said it was a great spiritual meeting. I don't doubt that. These people have traveled the road for the Lord for nearly 50 years and have been blessed, have blessed people all over the United States, and has certainly been a great blessing to us at Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, in our camp meetings, in our revivals, and the different times that we've had them. And so we do wish them the very best in their retirement, that it'll be long, leisurely, and blessed as was their ministry. Now let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word of God and today's message. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the sweet service this morning, for the message we heard. Lord, for the stirring of our own heart. We thank you for Brother Tom and for the message he brought. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we had there with the church as we had lunch together today and spent time together with Brother Tom and the Lancasters and, Lord, our church family. Thank you, Lord, for having us in a place where we do have good Christian fellowship, friends that we can count on, friends that we love, and, Lord, just an atmosphere of worship and praise. Father, we do pray for the rest of this revival that you will bless and undertake, and, Lord, continue to speak to our hearts and to bring us to the place you want us to be, and help us, Lord, to be obedient to every call and everything that you ask us to do, that we would be obedient and just do that that you say. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening today that you will bless them in the way that you see fit. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick and need a touch of the body. I pray that you will do that according to your will. And then there are those, Lord, I know that probably are, I don't know how many may be listening, but I do know that out across this vast audience there are people who are not saved. And I pray, Lord, that today if one has stumbled across this broadcast, that you will speak to their heart today and save them by the marvelous grace of God, not by anything they have to do except just humble their heart and look to you and trust you as their Savior. And on the authority of God's Word, you have said you would save them. I pray now, Lord, that you go with us through the broadcast, and may all that we do praise and honor and glorify you, for we ask it in your sweet name. Amen. Well, we do appreciate each one that's listening this morning and trust that the broadcast will be a help to you. We are still looking at the book of Joshua and the great exploits of what he and the people of Israel did when they crossed over into the land that God had promised them. And as they began to conquer that land and to take that which God had promised them. We did see that the first city that they went into and conquered was the city of Jericho. And that was a great victory, a great walled city with practically no possible way for them to penetrate those walls or break those gates down and to enter. But God, through his own plan, telling them what to do, which simply involved marching around the city and blowing a trumpet and shouting, and God tore the walls down, and they went in and conquered that city. We have looked at several things about that great victory. But then we find that immediately after that, their next city that they needed to conquer was a little small place called Ai. It was not fortified like Jericho. It was not even a fraction of the size of Jericho. And so they decided they'd just take a few people up there and that they would just whip that out right quick, and then they would be back. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't quite that simple. Instead of God being for them, God had now turned and was not in their camp. He was not blessing their efforts. And therefore, they turned and ran before the enemy and lost 36 men who died as a result of that defeat. And so we began to look at what happened, and we did see that there were some things involved. This young man, Achan, had taken some things out of Jericho that he was not supposed to take, and as a result, he had brought the displeasure of God down upon the entire nation of Israel, and they had suffered this great defeat at the hands of a far inferior army there at Ai. Last week we looked at the deception that was involved in that defeat, and it mostly surrounded Achan. First of all, he had a love of luxury. He saw that Babylonish garment, that beautiful garment that he thought he would look so good in. He decided to take it and just to keep it to himself. And not only that, but he had the love of lucre. He was deceived by the love of the money because he saw that gold and that silver, and he took it for himself and buried it in his tent, and it was found there. And he was punished by death along with the death of his family. We'll see that before we're finished in this. Oh, but listen, then there was the love of leisure. The spies come back and said, you don't have to send everybody. Don't labor all the people. Don't bother everybody. Just send a few people down there and they'll conquer that city. And so they were going to give everybody else the time off and the time of leisure. And they were deceived by all of these things, some of the same things that are being used by Satan to deceive people today, the love of luxury, the love of money, and the love of leisure, and of having our own way and refusing to listen to God's instructions or to follow God's plan. So today we want to move on to a different aspect of this defeat. Not only was this defeat brought about by deception, but it was also brought about by a defiance. And I want you to look with me for a minute, go back over into the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We've been preaching out of chapter 7, but we want to make a reference back to chapter number 6. And right around verse 18 is the verse we're trying to get to. But prior to that, here was what God had told Joshua. He said that you're going to compass that city once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you're going to compass it 7 times. And you're going to shout and blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down. And this was what, as God was giving that instruction to Joshua, this is what it says, beginning in chapter 6, verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, everyone straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests blaring the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And it goes on down to say, in verse number 17, and it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein is the Lord, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And so here is the direct command of God that has told Joshua, and Joshua has told the people. He said, everything in this city belongs to God. Everything in this city is accursed because of the great sin of this place, and you will not keep any of it, because if you do, you're going to bring that accursed, that cursing upon yourself, and you too will be cursed. And not only that, but you're going to bring trouble to the entire nation of Israel. So they were warned. Everyone had heard God's strict command that you will not do that. Do you know what happened was, Achan decided that he would defy the commandment of God, that he would just go ahead and take what he wanted instead of being obedient and doing what God had commanded be done. Now, I don't know about you, but there's not too much that flies in the that used to fly in my face from a child was that of open defiance. And if you, it's like pushing a button when they do that. They know, or they maybe don't understand why that sometimes you have such a reaction when they openly defy you. And just purposely disobedient to what you have said. And there's nothing in the world that that would aggravate me any faster than that when my children were growing up. I believe that God's the same way. I believe that that defiance, that shaking the fist in the face of God, that that attitude that says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to just do what I want to do. That's what Achan said in his heart, though he might not have uttered that, and he might not have understood that all of that was involved in his taking of that accursed thing. And yet, that's exactly what he was doing. That's exactly what he was saying. I don't care what you said, God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to take what I want to take. And friend, can I just equate that to a minute to this world that we live in? I see around me so many people who are defying the commandments of God. They're defying the principles of God. They are defying the authority of God. And I can tell you, friend, that defiance will get you nowhere except into hell. Now, there's a couple of ways you can be defiant. You can be a child of God and defy God's word, and that makes you like a defiant child. Makes you like an unruly, unbehaved child that is knows the parents' rules and regulations, and yet chooses to openly deny the validity of that, and to just go ahead and do what they want to do anyway. I can tell you that God, that flies in the face of God just like it does in the face of a parent. Maybe even more so. Because even though a parent has done many things for that child, nobody has ever done for anyone what the Lord Jesus Christ did for mankind there at Calvary when he willingly laid down his life on that cross. Didn't have to do it, wasn't required to do it, but of his own free will, went to that cross, suffered everything that was involved in being hung on that cross, being mocked, being spit upon, being laughed at, my friend, and suffering the agony of that horrible death there on the cross. And he did that for you and me. And yet there are people today who defy that, and they want to do things their own way. They believe that they can get to heaven some other way. They believe that there's a better way than the way God had it. They can't accept what God has said. And my friend, when you do that, that's one way of being defiant, is if you're a child of God. Well, the other way is, you can be defiant of someone and not be a relative as a child of God. For instance, if you know that the speed limit, the sign on the speed limit says 70, but you decide to do things your way and you drive 85, then you have defied the law. And let me tell you, I don't have to remind you that if you do that, you are putting yourself at risk to be stopped, to be questioned, to be searched, all kinds of things, to be fined, have to pay a penalty, and in some cases, maybe even go to jail. And so, my friend, it's bad enough when a child of God is defiant, because you know what happens? That child gets punished by the father just like a defiant child should be punished by a parent. And that God will deal with that, just like he will deal with a child of his own, just like you would deal with your child that's defiant, that goes in deliberately against what you've told him to do. And he will deal with them as a child, just like a father deals with his child. But then, if you're not a child of God and you are defiant of God's will, God's way, and God's willingness to save you, then there will come a time that you too will face the consequences. Just like I mentioned the example of someone defying the law, and they decide to drive much faster than the speed limit. You can do that. You make that choice. That's what you decide to do. But friend, there's coming a time, you do it often enough, you're going to get caught. And eventually you will pay the price. And I have to say to you today, dear friend, if you're not saved, then there's going to come a time that you're going to pay the consequences. You're going to face the judge. You're going to receive the fine. You're going to receive the sentence. You're going to end up having to give an account for your defiance in the face of a loving, almighty, all-forgiving God, that you have rejected, that you have defied, that you have denied, and that you have refused to receive the salvation that he's given you. And friend, one day you too will pay the price for that defiance. Now, I understand that we're talking here about something a little different, but the principles are the same. Players may not be exactly the same, but the principles all apply. You can have that choice. You see, Achan had a choice. When he saw those things that he wanted, he had a choice. Now, he had been told. He knew what God had said. But evidently, he simply did not believe that God's word was true. Did not believe God meant what he said. And yet, he did find out the hard way. It cost him and it cost his family. And they all ended up being killed, executed for his crime. And can I say this, friend, whoever you might be that's listening to me today, if you're not saved, you have defied God's plan of salvation, and you've never received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That means that if that doesn't change between now and when you leave this world, you go out into this world unsaved, you're going to pay the price. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. God's going to look at you and ask you why you rejected his sweet son that he gave so freely, that you would not receive him and be saved by his grace. But you see, when Achan defied God and went ahead and did that thing and refused to comply with God's demand, he lost his life. He ended up paying the price. Oh, but you know what's really sad is his wife and his children, his whole family, they were destroyed. And they also had to pay the price. Now, friend, what I'm going to say to you probably won't sit well, but it's the truth. If you go through this life as a parent, you never receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You never do anything towards trying to help your children to come to know the Lord. You die and go to hell. There's a good chance that you're going to take your children with you, because they tend to follow the examples that are set before them. Now, I understand that being a godly parent doesn't guarantee a godly child. Each one of us has to answer to God for ourselves. You can't be saved on your daddy's religion. Daddy, you can't pass your religion, or maybe a better word is salvation. Religion's a whole different thing. Salvation and religion, two different things altogether. But you cannot pass your salvation to your children, and the children cannot inherit salvation from their parents. Each of us must make that decision on our own. But a parent who never comes to know Jesus himself and never emphasizes the importance of salvation, there's a good chance those children will follow in his footsteps. So today, as we think about these things, and I see my time's about gone, as we come to the end of this broadcast, let me just walk you through this one more time. Friend, if you defy God, as Achan did, you will pay the price. His price was physical death. You defy the plan of salvation. You defy the invitation that God has given through the Lord Jesus Christ, the price he paid on Calvary, where he bled and died in your place. He suffered in your place. He was buried. And on that third day, he rose again to prove that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. And today, he offers himself as the means to bring people into reconciliation with his Father God. That's the only way that you can have your sins forgiven and be reconciled back to God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, you may try to defy God's plan and go your own way. You may think that just simple faith is not enough, that you got to do something on your own. Friend, it's so simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is by faith to reach out and grasp that. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he said he would do, and believe upon him. Cast your soul upon him, and forsake all other means, and ask him to save you. Dear friend, on the authority of God's word, I know he'll do it. Our Father, as we end this broadcast, pray that you'll speak to the heart of some individual today. Bring them to an understanding of how much you love them, and save them for the sake of Jesus in his name.